On a morning in late August, the morning before the wedding, the sun rising out of the quiet sea stirred the oval from its shapeless sleep and gave dimension and design to the ring of summer cottages. The islanders were already astir. There was milk to deliver to the summer visitors, stores to open for their spending sprees, grass to cut for them, cars to wash for them, an endless chain of petty jobs demanding preference, particularly in the oval whose occupants were colored and inclined to expect special treatment. The oval was a rustic stretch of flowering shrubs and tall trees, designated on the old town maps as Highland Park. The narrow dirt road that circled it was Highland Avenue. But since, in no islander's memory, had there ever been signposts to bring these ambitious titles to life, the area had long ago been assigned the descriptive name that better suited it. A baker's dozen of cottages made a ring around the park. Some were small and plain of facade. Others were bigger and handsomer. One, the Coles Place, was called a mansion. And all of them were spruced up for summer, set back precisely on immaculate squares of green lawn. They formed a fortress, a bulwark of colored society. Their occupants could boast that they, or even better, their ancestors, had owned a home away from home since the days when a summer hegira was taken by few colored people above the rank of servant. Though newer comers owned cottages in other sections of the seaside town, some very splendid houses in neighborhoods customarily called white, the Ovalites still outranked them. They had been the vanguard. They were now the old guard. It would sound like sour grapes to say, so what? Even the label Ovalite had acquired a connotation completely the contrary of its original intent. For those who had bestowed it as a bitter epithet were now long gone from the scene of their failure to crash Ovalite society, and the name that was once profane had been sanctified by time and proper inflection. The Coles House dominated the oval, with its great glassed-in porches, against which many birds had dashed themselves to death, its ballroom, with the little gilt chairs that had hugged the walls for years now, set in place for the wedding, and the undertaker's chairs in sober alignment, its sweep of lawns that kept the lesser cottages at a feudal distance. It was the prize piece of the oval. Behind it were acres of picturesque growth that had been part of the property in the baronial era of the first owner. Now they served as an effective backdrop for the Coles Place, closing that end of the oval to cars, making it a dead end. The only means of exit from or entrance to the oval was via a winding, rutted road. The underbrush on either side of this road forced one of two approaching cars to back to its starting place, a slow and torturous procedure that often left scars on the polished hide of an oversized car that did not quite stay in the ruts. The Ovalites could have followed established procedure and petitioned the town for a wider outlet to the highway. But this uninviting approach gave them a feeling of being as exclusive as the really exclusive, the really rich, the really powerful, who also lived at the end of impressively bad roads to discourage the curious. The Clark Coleses came closest to being as real as their counterparts. They had money, enough not only to spend but to save. They were college bred of good background. They lived graciously. Two respectful maids had served them for years, living proof that they were used to servants. If Clark and Corinne had not slept with each other for years, even their daughters could not have demanded more discretion in their outward behavior. Their daughters were Liz, the married one, and Shelby, the bride-to-be, both lovely, but Shelby the lovelier, the image of Graham in that tinted picture of Graham as a girl, with rose-pink skin, golden hair, and dusk blue eyes. That Liz had married a dark man and given birth to a daughter who was tinged with her father's darkness had raised the eyebrows of the oval. But at least she had married a man in medicine, in keeping with the family tradition that all men were created to be doctors, whose titles made introduction so easy and self-explanatory.